This will record it so I can have a record if I miss something, but...
It's special.
So I'm Larry McClure, and we're sitting today in the office of David Sylvie at the Suburban Door Company of Tualatin, which you founded, right?
Yes.
How many years ago?
1971.
71. Wow.
And 5 years ago.
That ages you, too.
Yes, it does.
We moved here in 72, so I was still young then.
Yeah.
You probably supplied something for the Waymeyer Construction that built all of our Apache Bluff.
Yeah, of course, Apache Bluff. We did all Apache Bluff.
Is that right? Then yeah. I've got doors that are still working.
There you go. Are they still working?
I think so.
There is no guarantee after that length of time.
And we're sitting with Del Judy, who is a longtime resident of this community. But the reason we're here is to talk about some of the memories that both Del and David have because of their long association. As I understand it, the families were very collectively together during many years of growth here. And so that's really what we want to do. But I also wanted to mention that I just met another fan of yours this recently. I had to have a door done in Dundee at a church there that I'm responsible for. It closed down, the Methodist Church in Dundee. So somebody broke in, and this guy says he's one of your biggest fans.
Well, I don't have very many.
Do you recognize that name?
Oh, yes.
Anyway, he did a great job. One of your doors is now at this church.
That's what I was going to ask. The Suburban Doors are in that Methodist church?
I imagine.
Was it before that?
So, do you build them actually here, or you get a lot of them brought in?
We bring in the doors, and we put the frames around them, or finish the doors, or pre-finish the doors, or paint the doors, and then put the frames around them, and build the doors for the openings is what we do. Mm. So that's
all custom made, sort of.
You know, most of the like what you had for Waymeyer, most of those doors are a particular size that they would have from the contractor, and we would either stock or make those accordingly. Over the years. So
what we want to focus on then is really going back in the past, and the reason to do that kind of relates to the fact that just last week we lost an historic building in Tualatin, the Clark Lumber. Before that, as I understand it, the Sylvie family had met much of their beginning here, at least when I came in 72 and we started going to that church. The Sylvie family was still there. I think it was Barbara Sylvie, who was also cooking at the school.
She was.
Mm-hmm. And she is it Vance Sylvie?
Yeah. Was that her father?
Yeah. Your father?
That was my father.
Okay. And he was not well at the time. This was 72.
No, he died in 1976, because my grandmother died in 75. So my father died in 76. Okay. He was 59 then. Do you remember that?
I didn't remember that, but I didn't remember that he died in 76 because, what month was that? Because my
April 22nd, 1976.
Okay, and Clay died in 1976 in October.
I remember that.
Yeah, so I knew they were close, but I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it was April 22nd, and my grandmother, who actually was started with my grandfather, the Sylvie Lumber Company, it was right before World War II, she died in April 22nd of 1975.
And I knew her, too.
I met her
out of your place. Yeah.
So that was the old, what is now the Clark Lumber Company. And so my father and then my uncle operated that until 1963.
Yeah. That's Don.
Yeah, Don Sylvie. And Don Sylvie's son is Don Jr., who is Soco Construction, who's actually building the building next door.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, he also, took care of our Heritage Center, the move.
He did.
The church.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
We did that.
Yeah. And he's built numerous buildings for me over the years.
Okay, so a long connection. Still in Tualatin.
Yeah, still back to the old Tualatin connection for... We still laugh about it. And I remember when we were at 8535 Sager, directly across the street from you.
That's right.
And I remember when I was in grade school, that's where the city ended. That was the property there. And I can remember looking at this thing that said, "Welcome to the city of Tualatin, population 77. Population 77.
Well, now, when we moved out here, Scott remembers the population as 290-something.
Yeah.
He said it was less than 300,
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
And so that was in 1958, or 57. 1957.
Yeah, and I remember that. 77.
It was, yeah, popular. 77. Oh,
I remember,
gosh,
that. So that would have been in the early 50s.
Early 50s.
And it was prior to, I hate to even date myself, I can remember then, so in the mid 50s when they were building I-5.
Uh-huh.
I-5 coming up the corridor, you know, that was, mm-hmm, Eisenhower's thing to get the,
right,
interstates
interstate
from north to south,
yeah,
and east to
west.
North,
right,
to south, and odds were one way and evens, mm-hmm, were the other. Remember that?
Yeah, well, sure do.
And so that was in the 50s. And here's another interesting thing. Clayton Nyberg,
mm-hmm,
he was on the... He was a state representative.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Right.
And I remember my father telling me this, whether this is true or not. He said originally I-5 was supposed to go come up where it is and supposed to take off where 205 is today and go out and bypass the city of Portland because they had 99, if you remember, 99,
yeah,
and 99 was coming into Portland. Now, Clayton Nyberg would happen to be a state legislator at that time, and he convinced those people to cut his property right in half.
You're kidding.
No.
I didn't know that.
No, my father told me that.
Oh, my God.
So I-5, according to my dad now,
yeah,
whether this is true, it must be. I mean, I don't know if it is or isn't, but I mean, now you're talking in the 50s, late 50s,
yeah,
early 60s. That it was supposed to come up, which makes sense, actually. If you think about it today, I-5 would come up where it is today, and then 205 would veer off to the left, and it would bypass the city of Portland. Because, as you know, if you've been down the city of Portland,
oh,
it's just
my gosh,
collective,
it's
mess.
Terrible.
But Clayton Nyberg, who happened to be working at the state at that time, happened to get his property bisected by I-5. And everything changed.
Oh, I wonder if John knows that. John Nyberg.
I don't know. I don't know.
There's your next interview.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
It is.
And now, you know, I've never gone any further somebody asked me about that years ago when the 205 came in.
Yeah.
And I can remember my father telling me that.
Heavens.
So
it would make sense.
It would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
It would make sense. So.
Gosh.
Clayton Nyberg bicycle. So, so think of the people that were back, that we were involved with back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. You had the Sagerts, the Martin Enzies,
mm-hmm,
Nybergs.
Uh-huh. You know, all those,
yeah,
all those people.
Sure.
It's bizarre.
Wow,
you know?
It is.
So it was your grandfather that started the Sylvie Enterprise, the Lumber Company.
My grandfather started Sylvie Lumber Company. Now, I think they started it just before World War II. Now, my dad and my uncle, they're from Nebraska.
Yeah.
And they had the Dust Bowl back in Nebraska,
yeah,
and they moved out here. And my father and my grandfather got a job with Copeland Lumber Company.
Oh, I remember Copeland,
yes.
Yeah.
Do you remember Copeland
Lumber
Company?
Yeah, I do.
The first job that my grandfather got was with a company called Milwaukee Lumber that is still actually over in Milwaukee.
Really?
Yeah. And my father got a job with Copeland Lumber Company, which was over in Multnomah on about 35th and Multnomah.
That's
from
Multnomah Village, right?
It's from Multnomah Village. You know where it is? You know where? Now, come on. Now, think about that. 35th and Multnomah,
yeah,
is exactly where the Senior Citizen Loaves and Fishes is.
I was
today.
Just going to ask, is that where the school?
That's it.
The Multnomah School.
Yeah, that's where the Loaves and Fishes,
yeah,
offices.
The resource center. They have their whole resource center.
Yeah.
That was the old Copeland Lumber Company.
I didn't realize,
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And then they worked on the Copeland Lumber, they worked there, and then they moved all the way out to Tualatin.
Oh my gosh.
and started the Sylvie Lumber Company. Can you imagine what was out here? I mean, why would we come out to Tualatin and start that?
Right.
Who had the foresight?
I have no idea. You know, and then my grandfather died shortly after World War II, and the boys came home from World War II, and they worked at the lumber yard. And my grandmother was the office manager then, and she ruled it with an iron fist.
She did.
She ruled it with an iron fist.
She was a lady about my size.
She was. Exactly.
Well, and then when did the Clarks come into the picture?
The Clarks came in at about 1963.
63.
Maybe 62, 63, 64. I could be off a half a year. But they, Mr. Clark, the grandfather, they actually had a lumber yard over in Sherwood. And then when my father and my uncle sold the Sylvie Company, he came over and bought the Sylvie Company. So that. And that original building there that was in front that didn't burn was their original building from the Sylvie Company.
Okay.
And above that, they had an area for the minister to live that was the Tualatin Methodist Church next door.
Right, the parsonage.
The parsonage was above the lumber yard.
Because I remember Willard Norman talking about living there. Uh-huh. He was a student then, pastor.
Yeah.
And talked about living above that building.
So then
Harvey Clark is the son of that the founder guy, I guess.
He's the son of Max, isn't he?
Max was before Harvey, right?
Max was the senior, and then Harvey, and then do they have another generation? I don't know.
There is a daughter, yes, who was in there, sort of the business manager before the fire. I noticed they're still wrapping up stuff out there in a tent out on the parking lot, trying to deal with whatever they can do, I guess. But, so it's been, I have a sizable number of employees who are all out of work now because of that, and I don't know what's next, because I guess they don't own the land.
No.
They didn't. They sold the land to the guy that actually developed that new building.
Nuwamin.
Yeah.
Nuwamin.
Right, so.
Yeah, he owned that.
Yeah.
But, you know, those were some interesting times because my father was the water commissioner. He was the water commissioner back then. Do you remember that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And our neighbor across the street, Bob McDonald, was the mayor back then. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that very well.
And the police chief was a guy by the name of Manlove.
George Manlove. Down where the City Hall building is.
Exactly. And he was the police chief. And maybe this is a little off record. I remember Mr. Manlove calling my dad and saying that Bob McDonald's in the ditch down here. Can you come and get him out? He was an attorney in Portland.
Yeah.
True story on that one.
That's right.
So let's move forward then. You moved here, Dell, in what year about?
1957.
57.
Memorial Day weekend.
And is it pleasant?
The Sylvies came over and introduced themselves. Yeah. See, we moved in on Friday and Saturday, and Sunday, here they came.
And there was a bunch of them.
And is that where you live today?
On the same property. But,
same property.
It's the old house, the ranch house.
Yeah. What brought you to Tualatin?
What did bring you to Tualatin? That's a great question.
Well, we lived in Oswego on a little 50-foot lot, and we had four children. And it wasn't our children that were filling the lot. It was each child brought home four children to play with. So, and then when my oldest daughter came home one day and said, "Mother, I need another cashmere sweater." And my husband and I said, "It's time to move from here."
From like Oswego.
So we started looking for property, and we looked at everything. We couldn't find anything we liked, and finally found an ad in the Oswego paper.
Oh, really?
For this house, and I came out and looked at it myself, and I said, came home, called my husband, I said, "Boy, I found the place, but we can't afford it."
Oh, really? Do you remember what you paid for that place?
I sure do.
What did you pay for that place?
It was 6.5 acres. We paid $18,500.
Oh, did you really? $18,500. Now, they had cows, horses. And we used to buy milk from the Judy's. And I'd walk across the street and get the milk.
60 cents for a gallon.
Yeah, well, you probably overcharged us back then.
Well, we did, but half of it was cream. And that gallon, half of it was cream because it was Jersey milk.
We used to walk across the street, and then she doubled as a piano teacher. She would I think you had Mary Jane. Mm-hmm. I know you had Mary Jane. Mm-hmm. You taught Mary Jane piano for a long time, didn't you?
And the Lee girls.
And the Lee girls.
Lee girls.
Remember, you know, the Lees.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Lee girls. And I don't know who else you had.
I was trying to think. Oh, did I have an Eaton? It seemed to me like there was an Eaton or two in there. Cause
well, there was a dozen Eatons.
Yeah, and I think there was an Eaton in there.
There was a dozen Eatons.
Yeah. But...
yes, you did.
That was fun.
It was fun.
We had a recital. I mean, it was.
Oh yeah.
It was good stuff. It was culture.
They had piano recitals and everything because mm-hmm. she was the teacher and she was top.
Where did you do the recitals?
In my front room.
In the living room.
Mm-hmm. It was a big front room. So
it was.
And carried everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, it was fun.
It was.
Did you take some lessons?
No, I wasn't smart enough to take lessons.
He was smart enough to stay away from it. Was.
And so your husband was doing what?
He was in advertising in Portland.
Okay. So newspaper or just general?
No, it was in agencies, different advertising agencies.
Okay, right.
Well, that was a couple of years ago.
It really was. It really was a long time ago.
And so Vince was, what was his career?
Well, he was the lumberyard.
He had that.
Yeah, he was with the lumberyard until 64. And then he became a property appraiser for Multnomah County.
Okay.
That's right.
And my Uncle Don, he worked for the city of Portland in the housing, I think you'd call it, whatever it was for the low housing that they used to have back then.
Urban renewal.
Yeah, he worked for the urban renewal after the lumberyard closed. But my dad worked for the property appraiser since, probably mid to late 60s until he passed in 76. So he probably worked there 10 years, mm-hmm. I'd say.
So the building that just burned, was that all of that was there then, or they added on to it?
No. That was all new. The only existing building was the one that was left in the front, and that was the one of the original buildings there. Mm-hmm. And the mess of the church that got moved was literally right next door.
Okay,
right next door. In fact, I think the Selby Company donated that property for church.
That's true.
Because I think that's what happened.
Yeah, that Sunday school building.
The Sunday school building went with the church for them.
And then we named it Selby Hall when we moved to
church. Yeah. Yeah, and so they had that. That was the old. And then they had the parsonage above it.
Right.
And then my father and my uncle were the deacons of that church when they originally started. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
Were you Methodist for a while?
Oh, yes, of course. Okay. That was the only church in town.
Yeah. So what was church like? Did you all go?
Sunday school.
Of course you went.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Sunday school too.
Yeah.
And then there was a nursery that started. You weren't in the nursery because you were too old for that.
No,
you
were too old.
You were in third grade.
I was in the Sunday school, and I'm trying to think if the lady that ran it, was it Zimmerman?
Zipprich?
Zipprich. No. What? No, not Zipprich.
That was later.
I thought they lived out in Norwood, and she was the one that kind of ran the junior high.
And I think that was Zimmerman. That sounds right.
I think it was. And she ran the... probably third grade to seventh grade, maybe eighth grade, maybe. And that was that little hall behind, remember
that? Yes.
In the Sunday school building that was there, that we named Sylvie, that's the building. That was in the 50s, though.
No, it was the...
Another hall was there?
No, it was a different hall.
It was just a...
It was a very simple.
I was going to say it was a little shack, really.
It wasn't much. It was a... The whole meeting hall was here, about this size, and then they had probably four classrooms, I think, off of that.
I don't know if they even had that many.
It was pretty simple.
Yeah.
Pretty simple.
Well, I heard that in the basement of the old church, because I came then, we moved in 72 and went to that church, But they said in the older days they would divide off with curtains.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
pipes and curtains.
Oh sure,
because
that's
right. They had no sound barrier.
Oh no, no.
And then there was a sump pump, I remember.
Oh yeah.
And if the heavy rains came for an extended period, and they had a wooden floor above the concrete, the cement floor.
Yeah. Yep.
Before, sometime earlier, they had dug out that basement with a team of mules or something. This was Sam Coach talking about helping dig the basement out, or somebody.
Well, the coach should have remembered it. That should have been true then.
Yeah. They had to dig it out.
Well, the coaches were a member for that church forever.
Yeah.
Yes.
They were it was the Judys and the Sylvies and the Nybergs and the Martinenses and that was the church.
Uh-huh. Right.
And they rotated, it seemed like, ministers more than they rotated.
They did, didn't they?
I
was trying to think, there's a couple other families now. Why don't those names come to the fore?
I know it was Zimmerman, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It had to be one of them, because they did that. You're right, there was an old floor, and I can remember my father, us going down there, because there was a sump pump, and sometimes the sump pump would kick off. And we'd have to go down there and try to work on the sump pump to get the sump pump working,
right.
Because it would flood the basement.
Yes, exactly.
It would flood the basement.
Because I remember one winter, our family and Clayton Nyberg would say, y'all can come and glean the filberts after I've harvested. Uh-huh. So we would go down, or walnuts somewhere, we got walnuts. I guess it was walnuts. And so I had big loads of walnuts that my kids and us picked up, and I was gonna put them in the furnace room there, which was a good warm place. So I spread them all out on the floor, and then the sump pump didn't work.
Oh yeah,
and they were all floating.
You had to re-dry them. Yeah.
So those were interesting times in the early 70s for us as newcomers.
But well, then they did have the nursery then. I mean, they had a nursery school there. Because
was it downstairs?
Yes, because Jim and Hannigan. That's where we met.
Did the Hannigans go there?
Yes.
That's right. The Hannigans.
Did Vic and Mernis go there?
Yes. Mernis came in later in life, at least when I was.
Were they in the church? I don't think they were in the church, involved in the church when we. I don't remember them then, but I remember going into the Hannigan station. But then there was a nursery school there, and so Jim and Michael Hannigan, I know, went to that. I have pictures of them.
Oh, really?
And they had. It was in the basement of the church.
Right.
Mrs. Wallace, I think, was the name of the teacher.
The Hannigans had that service station for years and years and years. In fact, I'm not so sure that Vic was the father, and then Rick ended up getting it after Vic, but I think it was Vic's dad that actually...
It was. He was mayor of Tualatin for a while.
He could have been. Uh-huh. I think it was him that was actually involved with... that was the first one that owned that gas station, and then Vic took it over, and then Rick took it over.
Yes, I remember Rick for sure.
I can.
And the Hannigans lived in the house right next door, or
behind
the
yes.
kind of behind
it.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And then they moved on to Tualatin Sherwood Road.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what were some of the stories of your kids running around together?
Oh gosh.
Oh,
well, there were Sylvies and McDonald's and Judy kids
up in our pasture. They were a rough group.
Digging forts or building forts and digging basements under forts. And I know Clay used to say that if he had a Geiger counter, he could have gone up there and made a lot of money on nails and hammers and old tools that the kids had brought up there to build all his furniture things.
We had lots of fun. And you had horses and cows and...
That's right. And pigs.
Pigs, yeah. I remember all
that. Did the Sylvie family have property too?
Sylvie property was right across the street. Uh-huh. We had about 3.5 or 4 acres. I don't remember what Mom had there. It was 3 to 4 acres. I don't remember. Was it?
Yes, it was.
That's where they have a little complex right across the street now where they've got 3 or 4 houses and stuff in. And that's where
were they raising little livestock, gardens?
We had some cows, and I remember this specifically. We had 2 cows. We had Brownie and Blackie. And my dad was out one day spraying thistles, and the cows got into the thistle spray and killed one of the cows.
Really?
Yeah. Killed one of the cows. Oh. Killed one of the cows. And the other cow was fine. And then they were supposed to butcher it about probably a year after that. And I remember none of the kids would eat the kids would eat the meat from old Blackie. Brownie was gone, she got it from the spray, and nobody would eat the other one.
Oh,
it was, I mean, you can't imagine.
The tears.
You raised all your kids in Tualatin, right, Del?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? How many did you have?
Four.
And they were all, some were born when you were in Oswego, though, before that. So.
Yeah, they were all born before we came to Tualatin.
Yeah.
But the Sylvies and the Millers kept the population going up in Tualatin.
Yeah. The Millers were on the corner. And I forgot about the Millers.
Logan
How could I forget
house.
About the Millers? That big white house on the corner of Sagert and Boonsferry Road, that big white one, that was the Millers.
It was a Logan house now.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Big, big white house. And Mr. Miller was a garbage man.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did they have four children?
I was just trying to, they had, yeah, the two boys and two girls, Sandra and Carla.
Yeah.
Yep. They had four. I think they had five. No, they couldn't have. There was only those
four. I was trying to think. And then the other one, do you remember the O'Callahans?
Oh, my gosh. They lived up the street on the
Killarney Lane,
eventually, yeah. When they developed that. Yeah, and we've got that in the book.
Right.
The O'Callahans were up there, too. That was another wild group.
Yeah.
That was another wild group.
And then, of course, the Browns lived
on... Oh, the Browns. Yeah.
The principal of the school, Jane Brown and John Brown.
John Brown. Uh-huh. John Brown. And then the Penningtons lived up there.
Yeah.
Pennington was a doctor over in Sherwood. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And everybody went to Tualatin Grade School, the brick school.
That's right.
And in fact,
Sherwood went. A lot of the people that were in the Sherwood district, because they had to split them when you came sixth grade.
Yeah.
They had to go to Sherwood. And
Wasn't in the early days the, you remember that old apartment that was across, next door to the grade school? Wasn't that a school? Wasn't that a high school at one time?
Yes, it was. Before it became
an apartment
Gables.
Or something. Yeah,
Tualatin
exactly.
Gables.
Yeah, when we came here in 72, it was still an apartment building.
Was it Tualatin Gables?
Not in good shape, but it was there.
Yep.
And
it was owned by the O'Callahans.
That's right.
Oh.
The O'Callahans bought that.
That's when she read the book on how to be a millionaire.
Oh, is that
real
what it was?
With real estate.
And she was fun. They were fun. They were a fun group.
A fun family.
They were a fun family. They were
in fact, there's still some of them are still around, Molly and and Colleen. I think is in Salem area.
Is she?
I believe so.
Hmm.
Yeah. Some of them around. I think now the Browns are Shirley was I think my age.
Yeah, Shirley and Pam and you were all the same class.
Now isn't Shirley in Medford?
Medford.
Yeah, she's a. How did I remember that?
Yeah.
So were there some tales of school life that are interesting? Did they all stay, keep their nose to the grindstone okay? Or?
No, they didn't, but that's okay. And we're not going to tell those stories. And I'm looking at him.
Why? We were good.
They were all good kids.
Some were a little bit more ambitious.
That's right.
Yeah, not as much of a student as others. How's that?
That's right.
How about Halloween? Any Halloween?
Oh my gosh.
Trick-or-treating was
just unbelievable.
It was fun.
And the other thing about the trick-or-treating is a little bit different than what they have today. I mean, so the mom would let us leave at 5 o'clock, whatever time it got dark. And we could be gone till 9 o'clock.
That's right. Chaperones.
No. And we could go down to Tualatin and we'd have these big gunny sacks up and down the streets. And I mean, no chaperones.
No chaperones at all. No one. And we didn't check on you.
Nope.
And pretty soon you'd come home.
We'd come home.
And you had homemade popcorn balls and
everything. Of course we did. My folks never had a lock on their door.
No, we didn't.
We never had a lock for our door. I remember when my sister moved to California, and so that would have been 61 or 2, she moved down to California, and we were going to go down there in the 59 uh-huh. red Plymouth station wagon. We were going to cram five kids in the 59. There is no such thing as safety belts.
No.
And we were heading down there, and I remember my dad saying, you know, maybe we better get a lock for that front door. we're going to be gone for a week.
And you didn't, I'll bet.
I'm sure he did.
No,
sure he did.
We never locked the doors.
No, we never locked the doors. I remember the other thing I remember about my dad and my mom in the 60s. I remember my mom would take all of us kids down to the beach. Oh. We'd go down to Rockaway.
Yes.
And my dad would stay back and work at the Lumber. Uh-huh. I think it was just a way for him.
It was a vacation.
Vacation for him, and he said he was painting the cabins.
That's right.
Here's another good story, and I didn't know this until. When my mom's 75th birthday up at our house, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
My uncle was still alive at that time. And my uncle and my dad were volunteer firemen.
Okay.
Were volunteer firemen. Mm-hmm. And that's what they had. And so any time that they would have a fire, they would ring that, and the guys would get in the car and they'd run down there to the fire. So my uncle's sitting there and my mom's there. And my uncle says to my mom, says, Barbara, didn't you think it was unusual that on those hot Sunday afternoons that we'd always get a fire? She says, what do you mean? She says, don't you remember Sunday afternoons that fire alarm would go off? Well, what they would do, the fire alarm would go off. These guys would head down to the fire station. And they'd go over to the Spot Tavern and drink beer for a couple hours. I never even thought about it. So on a hot Sunday afternoon in August, the fire alarm would go off. The guys would do their civic duty, head down to do their civic duty.
Come back
2 or 3 hours later with a little beer on their breath.
Was this when Barngrover was the chief?
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. That's right.
Absolutely. Barngrovers were there. Barngrover was my baseball coach for when they used to have the dog food factory over there. They used to have a baseball field over there, and that's where we played baseball. And Barngrover was the baseball coach. All about
it. We've got a picture of that baseball field.
Yeah,
with the cars lined
wonderful.
Up out there.
Yeah.
Oh,
big
yeah.
open space.
Gosh, I remember that well. The other real good thing I remember about the Tualatin. System back then was, I remember it was probably 65 or 66 or 67. I was in high school and I was taking a social studies class or something. And they said, we want you guys to go to a city council meeting, either Tigard or Tualatin. Actually, did they bring the kids from Sherwood? No, it's just Tigard and Tualatin.
It's Tigard and Tualatin.
Okay. And so my dad was on the water. He was a water meter board, whatever he was. And he said, you need to go to a council meeting. So I went to this council meeting. And McDonald was the mayor. Bob McDonald was the mayor. So we get into this council meeting. They had the council up there, and there's half a dozen people sitting out there. And they used to have the Smiths, who did the garbage pickup.
Yep.
They used to give us one free pickup a year. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. I'd forgotten about
that. They used to give us one free pickup a year. And so we're sitting in this meeting, and I'm just a kid, 15 years old, and McDonald's sitting up there with the rest of these guys. He says, all right, now listen, we got Frank Schmidt coming in here in a few minutes, and we're going to push for two free pickups a year. He's taking advantage of us out there, and we're going to get two free pickups a year. And I'm thinking, well,
that sounds good.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it sounds great. So I'm sitting there, and he's going to be here in 5 minutes or something like that. I'm sitting there, okay, great. I'm just sitting there taking notes for my social mm-hmm. studies class. In comes Frank Schmidt. Schmidt? Yeah. Was that the last name? No, Frank was his last name. Frank was
that's
his
right.
last
Frank's, name. That's right.
Frank's was his last
service.
Name. Frank's Garbage Service. Mm-hmm. So Frank came in. He comes in with a pair of overalls, you know, with the things on it.
Right.
German guy, about this wide and thing. And he said, yeah, Mr. Frank, come on up here. So they got the seat and he comes up here. And McDonald, you remember McDonald, Mr. McDonald was an attorney. And he had that attorney voice. He says, now listen here. He says, you guys have been taking advantage of us here for a long time, and we've got one free pickup a year, and we want two free pickups a year. And he went on and on and on and on. Frank's just sitting there. He listens and listens. He stands up and he says, listen to me right now. I haven't made a damn dime off you guys out here. You're lucky to get one free pickup a year, and you're not getting one more pickup. Turns around, walks out, slams the door. Everything's quiet. McDonald turns around and says, boy, that didn't go very good, did it?
Oh, dear. Did you report all that social studies?
I did. That didn't go very good, did it? Mr. Frank wasn't going to give up one more free pickup, and he wasn't making any money out of wallet anyway. Oh, I'll never forget.
Wonderful.
Can't you see Mr. McDonald doing that?
But he had to go home and have a drink.
He probably had a couple before he got there.
Yeah, I bet so.
That the old City Hall building where wooden one there on the corner by Sherwood Road and Boone's Ferry?
Oh, yeah.
Small building.
Very small.
Very small building. Oh, I tell you, I remember that.
Oh, I've never heard that one before. That's good.
You can just see that
I
happen.
Sure can.
You can just see.
So you both watched City grow quite considerably. So what were some of the other issues in Tualatin in those days?
Other issues in Tualatin.
The sewers had just gone in. Everyone had septic tanks for a long time.
They did.
And the sewers had gone in just before we moved out here in 57. Because,
really?
Yep, because we were delighted that we didn't have to pump the septic tank too much longer.
We had the septic tanks, I remember.
Yeah.
We had that for a long period of time. I think the city of Tualatin, you know, like all cities on growth, stumbled and bumbled.
Oh,
along.
Yeah, they did.
I mean, come on. I mean, they did. I mean, we had no police force. We had, his name was Manlove. George Manlove was the police, and he also worked as something else at the same time.
Oh, he was something in the city.
Something in the city. I don't remember what he was in the city.
And he worked at the Sylvie Lumber Company because he would go in and I don't know what he did for you.
I don't have any idea.
Whether he was just a handyman there or what, but
I mean, so you saw lots of people kind of come through the system.
That's right.
George Andrews. Do you remember Andrews? George Andrews. He was the principal of the Tualatin Elementary School. Mm-hmm. He worked at the Sylvie Lumber Company when he was going to college.
Yeah, I was just going to say, he was just a young guy.
Yeah, he was a young guy. And I remember I don't remember much about that, but I remember my dad telling George, you've got to finish school, if you're not going to do it. I remember my father, I'm sure my uncle was involved in it somehow too, adjusting the schedule so that George Andrews could finish school at Portland State.
Going to school.
Yeah.
And
he went into the Navy and became a successful businessman.
He very successful, mm-hmm. And he was a teacher, and then he became principal at Tualatin Elementary School, and then he's had numerous business ventures, and some of them are still going today.
Right. That's right.
Right.
Progress.
He was a great guy.
Yeah.
Great guy.
The one story I remember about your dad, and the Sylvies were godparents to a lot of people. But after the war, when the Japanese, some of them were coming back to their homes, Sasaki walked into the Sylvie Lumber Company and was going to walk home to his property. And Mr. Sylvie said, you're not walking any further. I'm taking you home. And I always thought that was something that really touched me. He picked up Art Sasaki and took him home.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
The rest of that story is he was having the berry field up here.
Yes.
And nobody would give him credit. Mm-mm. After World War II, nobody would give him any credit. And I remember my dad was one of the first people that gave him credit to buy on an account after World War II.
The Sylvies were great people for Tualatin.
Yeah.
That was a big deal.
Yeah, it really was. It really was.
Because they had been the intern camp?
They'd been interned in Idaho.
Yeah. Yeah, they were in Idaho. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And when they let them out after World War II, everybody was tainted about that anyway. And I remember that. I really specifically remember that.
Oh, I did too. I thought that was so dear of Mr. Sylvia.
Now, your mom was the cook for how long?
Oh, geez, 20 years?
Something like that.
And my father died in 76, and he was 59, and my mother must have been 56, probably. She was born in 1919, so that would have made her 55, 56. And I think she cooked there till she was like 65, something like that. And these two gals would go to the Blazer games religiously.
Dale, that's you?
We had season tickets.
They had season tickets up in the old Memorial Coliseum.
Oh, the Memorial Coliseum, yeah.
And they would take the bus from the Ramada Inn. You remember that?
Yeah, that was later.
That was later.
That was later. That came in. You know, we used to drive, and we'd take turns driving in. But then the bus came in, and they would haul us. We'd go over to the hotel.
Ramada
Inn. Sweetbriar.
Yeah, Sweetbriar.
Sweetbriar.
Yeah.
And pick up the
So you must have started that when they were just starting the team, early years.
Well, no. I was still in Grants Pass when we won the championship. So, and then came back, and then that's when Barb and I had season tickets after that. So they were in the Memorial Coliseum.
Yeah, that's when they won it.
Yep.
So that was 75.
Right. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
75, I think
we
they
were here for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was right around the same time my dad passed away.
Yeah.
Yep. Very close to that
time. I just remember your mom and the cinnamon rolls at that school. Our kids loved that school.
Yeah.
They went there. Our kids were the last ones to go to Tigard High School before the Tualatin opened. So.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But, yeah, she was a great cook. And for church, of course, dinners and potlucks, you could always count.
Oh, my
count
gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, she was wonderful. Yeah, she was never, you know, that's one thing I can remember about my mom is everybody used to haul somebody else home. There was always an extra kid. I mean, now remember we had there was seven children. There were seven in our family. Yeah. And we had a four-bedroom house, and we had two rooms upstairs, and we never had heat upstairs in that old house. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember.
So there was no heat upstairs in that old house, and when I moved out in 69, after I moved out in 1969, there was still no heat in there, and I remember telling my dad, I says, Dad, why don't we talk to the gas company? It's going to cost him as much to get a gas heater out there. They had an old gas heater they put in there, and I think it cost him like $1.90 a month for this gas heater, and I had spent 10 years up there freezing to death. $1.90. the situation was, we had seven kids, and sometimes I'd share it with a sister, and sometimes I'd share it with a brother, and it was never a big deal.
Well, no, and there was
it was
always
never a big deal.
There was always somebody else in the
house. Oh, there was always somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there was always somebody's kid. There was always somebody's sister's cousin or something.
Right.
Their parents had moved away, or they couldn't live with their mom or dad, and they were living with us.
And one bathroom.
Well, we had a bath and a half, and the other one, the shower didn't work. So we had one toilet upstairs and a bathroom and a tub downstairs. That was it. But there was No problem.
Well, just get out of there. Hurry up.
No problem. I don't remember any difficulty with that.
Yeah.
You know, I remember. I mean, you got to remember, between the Judys and the Sylvies and the McDonald's. All those kids that are around, I mean... We would.
They were all mixed up. You never knew who was going to be at your dinner table.
No, you never knew. And there was nothing. It was nothing for the kids to leave the house at 8 o'clock in the morning, not to come back till 6.
That's right.
And
but we knew where you were.
Well, we were somewhere.
That's right. I mean, we were in one of those four houses, or we could have always found you.
We could.
How'd you call them? Whistle?
We never did.
No.
Oh, just showed up.
Well, let's see.
Dinner time.
Didn't the McDonald's have a whistle? Seemed to me like somebody, we didn't have a whistle.
I think you're right. I think Mrs. McDonald is Mrs. McDonald still alive?
Mrs.? Yes.
Is she really?
Yeah, she is. She doesn't know anyone, but she's still alive.
So what about school life then, programs and things like that, school programs and holidays?
Oh, my gosh.
Boring. They were so necessary.
Oh, yeah. Tons and tons.
That's when our kids got their culture, the school programs.
Talent shows?
Yep.
Piano and all that?
Oh, yeah.
Festivals, dances?
It was unbelievable. I mean, that was the entertainment. You know, that was a big day for, I was thinking about it today on the Crawfish Festival when I saw the signs up there. I remember the big day was when the Crawfish Festival was on and we had baseball games down
there.
Oh
my gosh, yes.
Oh yeah. Okay. And we got to ride on the fire truck down there. The baseball team got to ride on the fire truck.
And the parade would start.
And you remember Governor Hatfield?
Oh yes.
I remember when I was 10 or 12, I remember he was in the Tualatin Crawfish Festival.
That's right.
Parade.
That's
Governor
right.
Hatfield. I mean, he has to be gone
yeah,
by now.
Yeah,
I think.
What were you doing, Dale, besides being a mom?
Being a mom.
There's no enough to do.
Yeah, there's no other time.
No, and then my husband works in Portland, so who ran the farm?
Right, okay. So.
And we had a good arrangement. My husband would milk the cows in the morning, and I'd milk them at night before he got home, so he didn't have to do that.
And by hand, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, it was by hand, of course.
You had cherries, you had grapes.
We had all kinds of fruit.
You had apples, yeah, pears.
I remember when we first, after Clay died, and we were getting ready to, was thinking of selling, the people behind us had, in the Filbert, or Helms Filbert Orchard.
Yeah, Helms, that's right.
Walt Helms. Had 30 acres of Filberts around us. And then the Filbert Orchard behind us, it would be the south of our property, they had put in some housing development. Helms had sold that, and that was the first really housing development that started. It was in there, and then Sandalwood, of course, in this other part.
Yeah.
And the people were so disgusted when they heard that we were selling our pasture, because they said, oh, we so enjoy sitting up there and having our breakfast on our deck and looking out over the cows. My husband said, well, do you want to pay the taxes? So do you want to? Anyway.
Well, did that butt up against Avery Farm, big farm?
Helms went to Avery, to Avery Street where Avery came in. But and their hatchery was up there on Avery Street. And
yeah, it was on the opposite side of the street, wasn't it?
What Avery was, Avery's house, and the hatchery was.
Yeah, it was on the other side of the street.
But that was Helms Filbert Orchard then that came down to where our place was. And then the street that's gone through now, 80, where our pasture line was.
Yeah.
For the Lutheran Church.
Yeah.
That is.
Yeah, but you went all the way to that, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where that's what I thought.
The Lutheran Church property and ours, that was our pasture line, was 8530, so it must have been 8540 now. Is it, which way does it go?
But you had a barn, you had two different barns.
Yeah, a barn and a shed.
You had a barn and a shed.
Because there are filberts. We had an acre of filberts, and we'd pick up the filberts, and we'd store them in there until we could get them to the dryer, and the walnuts. And we had the walnut trees.
And we had walnut trees.
Yeah, that's right.
So all the kids helped pick?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In the fall.
We also had a black walnut in our front yard, which is a heritage tree now. We put it and the maple both on the heritage list. And we'd pick up those black walnuts. You know, they're terrible.
Oh, big old black.
And we'd use them. We'd throw them out into our driveway. They're better than gravel. It's just great. We drive over them and tell.
I remember that. Yeah, great. The walnuts. I forgot about the Helms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Walt Helms. Walt and Minnie. Minnie was a teacher or a librarian, wasn't she?
She was, and he was a farmer.
Yep, he was a Filbert.
And actually, he had that property next to Mom's. Remember the big piece of property?
Oh, that's right.
Because he used to have hay out there.
That's right.
Where all those apartments and stuff are now. So he owned all of that property. All the way to, I think he owned the property all the way to where the freeway was, didn't he?
He did on the south side, but did he own that on the other side? Because the coach is
The coach is on the other side, and he owned the south side. Or no, well, that'd be the north side.
No, it's the north side.
North side.
Yeah.
That was all Helms' property.
That's
remember
right.
that?
Yeah.
He had all that all to Martin Enzi Street.
And that's where Sandalwood went in, okay. Sandalwood Village.
Yeah, he had. They had all that property, and then.
Well, there was over 30 acres of Filberts.
Well, the Filberts were on the other side of the street. Filberts were on the south side of Sagert Road.
Are you sure that he owned that on the south side?
I remember.
The north side.
I'm sure he did, because he hayed that at least all the way up to where that Martin Enzi is now.
Martin Enzi is now.
I think he's owned that this way.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure he owned all that stuff because I can remember him working in that field.
Scott bucked hay for Lloyd Coach, and that was but he did that over there on your side where the Sylvie house was that came right up to your property.
Well, I can remember doing some stuff for the Lees on 65th. Where 65th is, and then on the right-hand side of 65th, where it goes down and up on the dip, he had all that, the Lees had all that property over there.
So all the kids had no problem with summer jobs.
Oh, no. We used to pick berries, too.
We'd go from one farm to the next, and one kind of berry crop to the next.
Yeah, all summer long, from June to September. Mm-hmm.
Christensen, remember the Christensen?
Oh, yeah, Pearl Christensen.
Pearl and Vic. Uh-huh. Christensen. They owned a berry farm up off of 65th.
Off of 65th, which will now, I guess, become Meridian again.
Oh, is it Meridian?
It's going to.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
We're going to double name it. We're going to put a sign on 65th that's historic name and the present.
Yeah, I think that's great.
So the Christensens had a farm down there where they had strawberries and they used to haul hay, and we worked lots of summers down there.
Oh, boy, I'll say.
Those guys. Lots of summers.
Pearl Christensen was a strong, little old. You do it this way. Don't pick those berries that way. Yeah. You don't step on those rows.
She was a tough old gal.
Yeah, she
was
tough.
She was tough, but you know she was.
She was nice.
She was really good to me and my cousin, and we worked hours for those guys.
Well, I heard Mrs. Sasaki was the same way. I heard she was a stickler for.
Oh, I'm sure she was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Our kids never picked.
We never got up to Sasaki's.
No. No, my kids didn't pick for Sasaki's either.
Who was on that blueberry patch, though, that we picked at?
Oh, I can't remember
their
name.
Remember that?
Oh, that
off
was
of Norwood Road?
Yep, that was a great blueberry patch.
Oh, it was a great blueberry patch. I don't remember what that guy's...
I can't remember them either, but... Thompson? No, it wasn't Thompson.
I think it was Thompson. I think it was. Right across from where the prison is now.
Yeah.
Correctly across the street. Uh-huh. They had all those blueberries in there. We used to pick them. So when my dad and my uncle had the lumberyard, we always worked at the lumberyard. I mean, it was just like we worked at the lumberyard.
Right.
I mean, and my dad paid me an exorbitant fee of 75 cents an hour. And so we were. And
he thought that was good money.
Well, he probably overpaid me.
Yeah,
I'm sure he overpaid me. And then after the lumberyard closed up, I remember specifically we would haul hay or pick berries, and you just started in June and you ended in August.
And you bought your clothes.
Yeah.
School.
Yeah.
And you got around on your bike or walked or
just rode our bikes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was no big deal. And
or horses, if we had horses. Pam rode her horse.
Ori Nyberg had.
Yeah, and Ori and Pam rode
Ori
together.
Ori and Pam had the horses, and so they rode horses down. Yep. They had those horses. Yeah, it was not unusual to have that all the time.
What about first cars? Did your kids ever have a car of their own when they were at home?
They did. After they were, how did they get that car? They never rode drove our family car. They would drive them, but they were never given those family cars.
Right. What did Jo have? Did Jo have a car?
She did, because it was her cousin came up from at Pacific University. My brother-in-law came up with his daughter to put her at Pacific University, and they drove up because they had things that they had to bring for Zurich to get her into her room. And a deal was that we were to kind of watch out for his daughter, and they were going to give Jo their car. So Jo had this car that she worked for McDonald's.
She did?
In town. Yeah, when he was He was on the east side, I remember. I'll have to ask Joe now. What was the name of that company? But she worked for, I don't know whether it was for Bob McDonald at, or whether he was across the street and got her the job or something, but she worked for, she knew the McDonalds anyway. Had were
the, Joe was the oldest.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Joe, she must, is she 68?
She's 69.
She's
69.
Oh my gosh, how did that makes you like over 70, doesn't it?
It does, just barely. Just barely. I was a young bride.
So Joe was the oldest, and then
Pam. And Pam, and you were the same age.
And then Pam and I were the same age, and then Scott, right?
Uh-huh, and then Jim.
And then Jim, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you the oldest?
Oh, no. I'm fifth of seven. There was four, five sisters, and then me, and then Mary Jane. Mm-hmm. No, four sisters, me, Mary, and then Doug.
Don't forget Doug in there.
I wouldn't forget Doug.
Are they in the area still? Or somebody?
Let's see. Most of them are. My oldest sister still lives in Tigard. Donna, she lives in Tigard. Barbara is in Colorado. Jenny is in, actually she lives most of the time in Sisters now. Did you know that?
I think Joe has caught up with Diane Sylvie.
And Diane lives in Tigard.
Yeah.
Diane lives in Tigard. She used to live on the East Coast. And yeah. She lives in Tigard.
And she brought her up to the...
And then I live in West Lynn. And then Mary Jane, she lives down towards Salem, and Doug lives out in Aloha. So most of them are close.
Good.
Most of them are reasonably close. They haven't gone very far.
One of our board members for the society was Diane Swintek. Now, which branch is she?
That's my sister, my cousin.
Mm-hmm. Your cousin.
That's Don's.
From Don Sylvie's sister.
So there was Don and Vince.
Don and Vince were brothers.
Right.
And there was two other aunts, and one of them died fairly, even I knew that back then. She died when she was 39. One of my father's sisters died very young. So the other one, Sally, she lived...
Gosh, I'd forgotten about Sally. Did she live?
Yeah.
Ben Balder is here.
Okay. She lived, I'll be there in a minute. She lived to be into her 90s, and they were, in fact, they had some kids that went to Tigard.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. There was one that was the same age as Pam and I.
Ah.
Yeah. Hmm. Cousin of the same age as Pam and I.
So why did your father sell the company there in 63?
They went bankrupt.
Oh. Okay.
I guess there was economic, you know, what do I know? I mean, 63 or 62, the economy went bad, and I think they lost a lot of money, and I think they sold the company. I don't know why. You know, I mean, I was 12 years old. I was just a kid. I had no idea what was going on back then. So.
Yeah, I think we better end this up.
Another
meeting.
But we can carry on again in the future with some
things
like
that. Oh, yeah, we got a million stories.
Was this useful?
I hope it was. I don't know.